Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can watch our services live and view our archive at StevensCreekChurch.com, the Stevens Creek app, or on our Roku channel. And if our ministries have touched your life, we'd love to hear about it. Send us an email to mystory@StevensCreekChurch.com. We hope today's message encourages and inspires you. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and welcome to Stevens Creek Church. We're so glad that you're here today. I want to welcome all those in our South Campus. I'd like to welcome all those in our Grovetown Campus, those in our video venue here, all those watching online or on demand. And this time next year, we'll say, and welcome to our North Augusta Campus. We'll be open in North Augusta Campus on September 8th in the fall, and we're excited about that. So let me begin by saying Happy Easter. Do you know that for hundreds of years, there's been an Easter greeting that has been shared among believers, where one person will come up and say, "He is risen," and then the other person would follow up and say, "He is risen indeed." So let's try that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, yes. Happy Easter. We're glad you're here today. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the single most important event that has taken place in all of human history. That's why this weekend we will be gathering with 2.3 billion people across the planet celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was and still remains to be the most loved and revered person in history. The message of Easter is a message of good news. And you know what? We need good news. When you turn on the news today, it's typical to hear about inflation and hear about conflicts here and there in Ukraine and somebody died suddenly or the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed. The world is covered in bad news. But Easter declares good news. It's about new life. It's a reminder that God has done something to change us. Doesn't matter how messed up you may be or how out of joint you may feel, but the message of Easter speaks to each one of us because Jesus rose from the grave and the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. Over the next few minutes, I want to open up the pages of the Bible and look at the original Easter story from Matthew chapter 28. I want to give you just some background and just put yourself into the place of this writing. At this point in Matthew chapter 28, the mood of the disciples and followers of Jesus was very dark. Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been placed in a tomb. And there was a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of unknown going on. And they privately wondered, has death won? Has hate won? Has darkness won? And so it's with that kind of feeling that we open up to Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled the stone back and he sat on it. His appearance, the angel's appearance, was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards, those guards that were guarding the tomb, they were so afraid of him that they shook and they fainted. The Bible said that they fell like dead men. Then the angel turned and looked at the woman and said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." And here's the point. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women then hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid, yet they were filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Now this is the story of Jesus. I want you to realize that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you. God's power is here for you. God's power is here to help you face whatever situation that you may find yourself in. This is the message of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. This is the same message of Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It said, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So this power, this resurrection power, is available to you when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you surrender your life to Jesus. Now, practically speaking, some of you may be saying, okay, that sounds interesting, but what does that look like? I mean, what will it be like tomorrow when I go back to work? What will it be like when I go to school? I believe the power of the resurrection does three things very practically in our lives. First of all, the power of the resurrection is the power to start over. The power of the resurrection is the power to start over. I love the words of Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 when it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. We too may have a new life. The message of Easter is that you can be changed. You can have a new life. Do you ever wish that you could just start over? I mean, you know how it is. You're halfway through a project, and maybe that project's at work, maybe the project's at home, and you look at your progress and, man, I wish I could just start over. Maybe you're halfway through your marriage, or halfway through raising your kids, or maybe you're halfway through college, and you say, man, I wish I could just turn back the clock, turn back time, and just do it over again. You know, sometimes you think of something that happened a long time ago, and it still feels fresh like it happened yesterday. Now, the story I'm about to tell you happened a long time ago, but it is so fresh I can still remember it like it was yesterday. It was when my daughter Sarah graduated from college and she moved into her first house. And we were all excited about that. And in those days, we were watching a network called HGTV. Anybody know anything about HGTV? Okay, got a few of those. Here's the first thing. Have you ever watched HGTV? It's all the same. You'll go, the house needs to be repaired, and they walk in the house and they look around, and what do they say? Let's take down a wall. Let's tear down a wall. And so one Sunday after church, we went over to Sarah's house. We're just sitting there. We're looking at this wall and said, you know what? We ought to take down that wall. And just like that, we called a friend to come over to go up in the attic to see if we literally could take down the wall or if it was, you know, to make sure it was not a load-bearing wall. And he said, go for it. And so on a Sunday afternoon, on a whim, we just took down the wall. Now, there's a problem with that because once you take down a wall, there's a gap in the sheetrock in the ceiling of about 10, 12 inches wide, and it went for 10 feet. So I looked up at that. I thought, well, I can fix that. I can fix that. All I need is just to patch it with some sheetrock, you know, just put it up there. And so I did that. And, you know, some people can do miracles with mud. Mud's joint compound. It's amazing. And so I went to work mudding that thing and sanded it, and it all looked beautiful. I painted it, and I was quite proud of it. But here's the problem. I cut some corners. I didn't put a stud where it needed to be a stud. You've got to attach sheetrock to a stud. And so after a few weeks, I would go over to Sarah's house, and I would see this crack in the ceiling. A few more weeks, I see it starting to sag. And every time I looked at that crack, every time I looked at that ceiling sagging, I had regrets. I hated that I cut corners. I hated I didn't do it right. Some of you know how that feels, that something in your life that you cut corners or you didn't do it right or you had regrets. All of us have done things that we have regretted. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you the power to start over again. It gives you the power to have a new life. And I realize some of you are saying, oh, Marty, you don't understand. I've made too many mistakes. I've broken too many relationships. It's just too late for me. And I'd say it's not too late, because when you surrender your life to Jesus, he gives you a clean slate. You can start over again. This is the story of Houston Brinson. He said, I grew up in Columbia County in a normal two-parent household. My younger brother and I played sports and made good grades and generally well-behaved and trouble-free. In the ninth grade, I started to wrestle with a kidney and autoimmune diseases. And he said that paved the way for the enemy to come in my life because I started isolating myself from everybody. As a student, I attended Stevens Creek Church, but I was far from the Lord. After high school, I went to college and I lived a life solely in the flesh. I embraced the world of alcohol. Then I embraced the world of drugs, which led me to be arrested several times. After an arrest for a felony drug charge, I moved back home. And after moving back home, I fell into a heavy drug addiction. It was like the devil had a strong grasp on my life with violence and anger and self-hatred and gang activity. I lost hope. I struggled with even the thought of continuing my life. Houston Wright said, I was in the pit. I was in the pit and I cried out to God. I pleaded with him. I didn't want to live like this anymore and I can't do it on my own. Then he says, then God miraculously answered my prayer. God sent me to prison. It was during this time in prison that my faith became personal. I was saved, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life, and my life has forever changed. He said, I was incarcerated, but I never felt alone. I was in prison, but I never felt afraid, angry, or hopeless. I felt his presence. Today, I am free. I live with a God-focused life and try to each day to crucify the flesh and walk with Jesus. I have discovered the true joy of the Lord that is my strength. Amen. You see, the power of the resurrection gives you the power to start over. But not only that, secondly, the power of the resurrection is the power for you to keep going. This is what some of you need to hear right now. You see, Jesus is not only here to give you starting power, but Jesus is here to give you staying power. I mean, life can be tough. We all face difficult situations and difficult news and problems at times. I mean, just this past week, I went to just a normal old doctor's appointment. And you know when you walk through the doors at the doctor's, you see the nurse there, and she kind of looks at you, and she says, how much do you weigh? I'm thinking, that's pretty personal. I don't even know you. I said, about 165. She said, step on these scales. Nope, 188.6. She said, how tall are you? I said, about 6'1". She said, step over here. Nope, 5'8". She said, let me check your blood pressure. She said, my, your blood pressure's high. I said, it is, and yours would be too. She said, I walked in here a tall and lanky man, and I'm leaving short and fat. Sometimes you hear news you don't want to embrace. And we struggle with it. We struggle with the pressure. We struggle with the anxiety. We struggle with the sickness and the disease. But let me say this. With God's help, you can get through this. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16 and 33. He said, and I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the power and the ability to keep going. I'm going to give you this power, the power of endurance, the power of determination, the power of persistence, that you can press through, that you can get through what you are going through. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can do this. You can get through this challenge. You can get through this problem. But let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be painless. But with God's help, you can put one foot in front of the other and you can get through what you're going through. You can keep going. I believe with the power of the resurrection that you can rise up into a new life, a life of purpose, a life of God's Spirit, a life of His love, a life of gratitude. Your life can be changed because you see, Jesus rose so that you can rise. And He can raise you up. He can raise you up when other people have pushed you down and other people have written you off and other people have discriminated against you. He can raise you up out of your depression and out of your despair and out of your frustration and out of your dysfunction and out of your loneliness. He can raise you up. Other people have tried to push you down. And you don't even know which way is up, but He can reach down and touch you and push you and bring you up. Jesus rose so that you can rise. And the road still may be tough, but you can get through this by putting one foot in front of the other. So get up tomorrow and I want you to face the issues. Stop ignoring them. Stop acting like it's not a reality, but face those problems. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to face those problems with the power of God's Spirit working in and through you. I want you to face those problems not from the posture of defeat, but from a posture of confidence, a posture of victory, that in Jesus' name, we can get through this. You know, the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, all those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He said, if we live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. Now, oftentimes, pastors love to look at the original words in which were used when the Bible was written. And so, oftentimes, those words have a way of just opening up the meaning of a passage so that you can really get that. And so, looking at this, I was waiting for that big revelation, but you know what? Walking is very ordinary. To walk in the Spirit, to walk. The word walk, it means just to take a series of steps in the same direction. But this word implies a steady progress over a long period of time. It's like saying, keep on walking. When he's saying, walk in the Spirit, he said, I want you to make steady progress. You're not perfect, but just make steady progress. And over time, allow the Spirit to direct your steps and to guide every part of your life. Because he's here to give you help and strength and stability. That's what he did with Ruby Wade. Listen to her story. She said, I started going to church at Stevens Creek when I was in kindergarten, but I did not have a real relationship with God. And Ruby was raised in a very challenging home with both of her parents at one time or another being in jail. She said, I felt lost, and I started drinking and smoking when I was 11 years old. I became an alcoholic, and I thought that I would never live a normal, happy life. My brother was murdered in April of 2022. A month after that, my mother died of cancer. A year later, in June 2023, my father died. I had nobody left. I thought I'd lost everything. So I turned to God for help. And I quickly realized that God was waiting on me. I gave my life to Jesus. I'm now 18 years old, and I was baptized on March 10th at the South Campus. Here's a picture of her baptism picture. She said, I've been filled with joy, and I now have hope. For the first time in my life, I know that God has a plan for my life, and I am happy and excited to live my life for Him. And I am thankful for my church. It's a place of stability in my life. Amen. The power of the resurrection is the power to help you to start over, but it's also the power to help you to keep going. Third and final one is this. The power of the resurrection is the power to finish your life confidently. After the resurrection, Jesus spent nearly 6 weeks here on this earth preparing his disciples for their next step. After 40 days were up, Jesus met them on a mountain in Galilee. And when the disciples arrived, they didn't realize that this would actually be the last time that they would see physically see Jesus on this earth, and that these would be his last words. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about the last words of Jesus, and I said this, last words are always important. You know, when a loved one dies, oftentimes we said, did he have any last words? Did she have any last words? Because we know that those last words oftentimes can be those words that are closest to their heart. Well, what was Jesus's last words? We're still in Matthew 28. We drop down to verse 20. And it says, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus's last words, he said, I'm going to be with you to the very end. When you have to make that impossible decision, remember that God is with you. When you're faced to make that change that you don't want to make, remember that God is with you. When you are worrying about how are you going to make ends meet, remember God is with you. When you have this unexpected job change or life change, remember God is with you. When you've exhausted all of your strength taking care of those sweet little toddlers, remember that God is with you. When you don't feel strong enough for the challenge, or you feel too confused, or you're unsure about what direction to take, remember that God is with you. When you're saddened by what you've lost, when you're scared by all those things that have changed, when you find yourself at a breaking point, remember that God is with you. He is with you and he will not forsake you. He knows what you need and he knows how to get you from where you are to where you need to be. That's Max's story. Let me tell you about Max. He's one of the good guys. If you'd meet him, you'd say, oh, I like him. He's a proud American. He had good morals. He had good ethics. But Max felt like something was missing on the inside. Everything else checked the boxes, but there was an emptiness inside of him. His wife, Joy, found our Grovetown campus soon after it opened. She just wanted a local church that she could raise her children in church. Now, Max supported that, but Max did not join her in this adventure. And so she started praying for her husband. And she had people at our Grovetown campus praying for her husband. One day she invited him to come to church, and they came to the Augusta campus. And as they're in church, Joy looked over at Max and saw him grab his chest. He said it felt like a knife was stabbing him in the chest. And this went on for 10 minutes, and then it passed. After service that day, a friend of theirs came over to talk to him and said, hey, during worship, I felt prompted to pray for Max. And so I started praying for him as we were singing and just praying that God would have his will in his life. And God gave me a scripture to give you, and it says that God is removing your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. Now, that got Max's attention, and he started going to church regularly. Now, after I heard that story, I said, Max, I said, tell me, did you have a heart condition that led you to faith? He said, Marty, he said, I never had any heart pains up until that moment, and then since that time, I've never had any. And so he started going to church, and he ended up at our Christmas Eve service. And some of you may remember this. I gave an illustration about some of you are so close to seeing your life changed. You're just really close. In fact, you are 18 inches away from your life being changed. Because you've come to this service. You know the story of Christmas. You know the story of Easter. But it's all in your head. You have an intellectual knowledge of the events of Christmas and Easter. But it's not in your heart. And if you want your life to be changed, it's got to take that 18-inch journey from your head down to your heart. Now, when I said that on Christmas Eve, it clicked with Max. He understood. Everything made sense. And that was the moment his life was changed. Max gave his heart to Jesus and he was saved and he was baptized 3 weeks ago. Amen. Could it be that Max's story is your story? Something's missing inside. And you can't really put your finger on it yet, but you know something is missing. And you've gathered here to celebrate Easter. And you know the story. Intellectually, you know it. Today is the day that you take that step. And you go the last 18 inches. You move it from your head down to your heart. You say, how do I do that? It only takes two words. Only two words. You know, two words can be powerful. A couple standing up on their wedding day, those two words, I do, changes their lives forever. Two words can be powerful. You're in a court. You're in a courtroom and the judge looks at you and brings his gavel down and says, not guilty. Those two words will change your life. Today, there are two words that can change your life. Two words that can move it from a head knowledge down to a heart knowledge. What are those two words? It's I believe. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that he lived a sinless life. I believe that he gave his life on the cross for my sins. That he suffered, bled, and died. That he was placed in a tomb. And on the third day, he came out of the tomb victorious. I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And today, I put my faith in him. And I believe he is my Savior. Those two words, I believe, can change your life. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You don't have to continue living like you've been living. Your life can be changed. It is not an accident that you walk through the doors of Stevens Creek Church today. It is not an accident that you tuned into this webcast. God has ordered your footsteps for this very moment because he has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you. And that plan begins by surrendering your life and your will over to a power greater than yourself, the power of Jesus. Two words, I believe. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray over this congregation. I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the leader of your life. This could be the most significant day of your life. This is your day. This is not about anybody else. This is about you. God has ordered your footsteps here. And I just want you to be open to this prayer. And I want you to be engaged. And I want you to join with me. If you've never accepted Christ, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this congregation. We're spread out over this city. But we have the same heart that we need this power that is greater than ourselves. So come, Lord, and just rest upon this church. I pray for the families. Many of them are together as a family unit celebrating this holiday. I ask God that you would bring peace. I pray for those that are suffering today, that you would bring comfort. But most of all, I pray for those that have never made a decision to follow Jesus. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, help me. Pray that. Say, Jesus, help me. Come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. Pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, make me into the kind of person you want me to be. I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my past. And I trust you with my future. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Head still bowed. How many of you would be courageous enough to say, Marty, I just prayed that prayer with you. I've given my heart to Jesus. Let me see your hands. Across this congregation, yes, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill us up with your presence and your power and give us the strength we need as we move forward in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him praise today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to help support the ministries of Stevens Creek Church, please go to StevensCreekChurch.com and click the Give button. See you next time.